Two, one, begin transmission.
Who are you? It is 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. And, well, by the time you hear this, France will have been the World Cup champions for a little more than 2.5 hours. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, loyal listeners around the world. The World Cup is over. And France has won. Final score of the game was 4-2. France 4, Croatia 2. Croatia, they put up a mighty good fight, but they just couldn't pull it out. Although, don't get me wrong, I really loved that 69th minute poach by Mario Mandzukic. That was absolutely brilliant. That was a World Cup move. That was the poach of the decade. That was the real highlight of this entire tournament. Oh, so what am I doing? Well, I am sitting here drinking tea while I watch the medals get draped around the French team's neck. Vladdy Putin is handing out some of the medals. And old Vladdy, he's under an umbrella, because it's raining pretty good now. And most people don't care. Some more umbrellas came out, because it's getting super rainy now. And lots of umbrellas as people get soaked. Nobody cares. Well, I don't know what to think. France wins the World Cup. I'm not super pleased about it. And I am mighty happy and mighty proud for Croatia. Croatia, the tiny little country that could and almost did. The fact that Croatia came in second place is of fairly historical significance. It is a big deal. And I know that there's a lot of Croatians who are sad and depressed right now, but oh, there is no reason to be. No, Croatians, take heart. That was an incredible performance. An absolutely spectacular run that the entire nation of Croatia needs to be very proud of. I know I'm excited about it. And as I watch this medaling ceremony some more, the Emirates girls, or whatever they're supposed to be, standing in the back row, they are getting soaked. Look at them trying to keep those smiles on their faces as the buckets of water pour down on them. Didier Deschamps is absolutely soaking wet. The World Cup trophy is absolutely soaking wet. Oh. Everybody starts kissing the trophy as it goes by. And they're about to hand the trophy to the French. Who's gonna raise the World Cup? And they hand it to Hugo Lloris. And everybody's crouching down. And there it is. Boom. He hoists the cup into the rain. The confetti cannons go off. Gold confetti falls everywhere. The little fog cannons shoot up their little fogs. And look at this. It's just chaos on the pitch. France. France has won. That's a lot of confetti. Who's going to clean that up? Plus, it's raining. So now all the confetti is sticking to people and getting stuck on their faces. And there's even more confetti still coming down. People are running around with the cup. It's all very exciting. People are doing slides in the water because it's so rainy. Water is splashing everywhere. Look at all these happy Frenchmen. Oh boy. And now they're all going to pile up on each other. Let's all jump on each other. Oh well. It's true. There's no denying it. France has won the World Cup. Second place goes to the brilliant Croatians who made it that far. All the way to the final game. Absolutely spectacular. Third place, of course, goes to Belgium, who won their game against England yesterday. And therefore, England came in fourth place. And I'm still really, really happy for Belgium. I thought they would make it to the final game. I even sort of thought they would win, but that's the World Cup for you. Sometimes there's a little element of random luck involved. And Belgium just fell victim to some bad luck. And so instead of hoisting the trophy, here's France. France. Well, that was fun. That was a fun summer tournament. The World Cup. The World Cup, always a good time. This is good tea, too. Mm. So, I don't know. Let's wrap this up. The World Cup. The first World Cup to be covered here on the Dubious Goals Committee. Will there be a second one? Will this Dubious Goals Committee show last another 4 years? Who knows? How many shows have I done already? Have I done 1,000 episodes of the Dubious Goals Committee? It's very possible. Have I counted? Oh, not recently. Maybe I'll do that today. Maybe I'll go over to the archive and start counting how many shows we've heard. Oh, can you believe that? 1,000 shows? Can that be right? That seems like a lot. It is a lot. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I don't know how much of this, more of this after party I can stand watching. So we're going to check. We're going to check the TV schedule. And I laugh because coming up next, after the World Cup, MLS soccer. Ooh. Atlanta versus Seattle. I still haven't seen a DC United game. I still haven't seen Wayne Rooney play in the MLS. I don't know how I feel about that. In a way, I feel bad because I'm missing Wayne Rooney play a game. But, you know, in a way, I don't care because it's the MLS. American football sucks. All right, so let's go through the schedule here. Oh, looks like the lacrosse championship is wrapping up as well. Let's see who's playing. A red team versus a white team. USA versus Canada. Current score in the third period. Canada 6. USA 7. 7 minutes left to play in the third quarter. So, what's on after this? The Johnsonville Cornhole Championships live. That's right. ESPN has so few sports to air, even though they are the sports network and they have two channels. They've got nothing better to put on than the Johnsonville Cornhole Championships live from Cherokee, North Carolina. That's just embarrassing. And then something stupid after that. Then, of course, at 4 o'clock E60, the story behind one of the most tragic transcendent events in soccer history, the 2016 Chapecoense Soccer Club plane crash. In case you don't have a television and you don't know, there's a lot of documentaries about Chapecoense being aired. So, just turn on your TV if you want to hear the Chapecoense story, and just randomly select channels, and after about three tries, you should land on a channel running a documentary about Chapecoense. We won't go into it here because we've already talked about it plenty of times. What else do we have? Ooh, yuck. There's an Ace Ventura movie on. Ooh. What is this? 1991? Oh no. Did I go back in time? And nobody told me? I hope not. All right. So I keep going, scrolling up. It's still Harry Potter weekend, so we've got Harry Potter running on the Sci-Fi Channel all day. Harry Potter, Harry Potter. I won't be watching it. Ooh, Singing in the Rain is on TCM right now. And following that, The Apartment. Yeah, that's kind of good. Ooh, and then ooh, at 4:30, The Way We Were, starring Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand. Oh God, no. And then The More the Merrier, Walk Don't Run, The Seahawk. What's on late tonight? Ooh, here we go. Vis a Vis. In director Jean-Luc Godard's Lanmake drama, Nana, a young Parisian who works in a record shop. Yeah, maybe I'll watch that. And then Le Petit Soldat, just about the time I want to go to bed. So, I don't know. I don't think I'll be watching any classic movies today. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I haven't decided. What else we got going on here? Nothing. Oh, motorcycle racing from Weedsport, New York. This would be flat track. And then, is this the practice for the Toronto Grand Prix? Yeah, no, it's qualifying. And then we've got the Toronto race later this afternoon. Excellent. I will watch that. There's also some Formula E racing going on right now. What that could that possibly be? The race was yesterday, and the championship was run. I have no idea what's happening on this channel. They seem to be confused, and they are further confusing me. So let's not do this anymore. Let's go up to Channel 84, see if there's any movies on that I want to see. No, and no. So, no. There are no movies on 84 that I want to watch today. So, what am I going to watch today? I have a feeling I'll be going to YouTube. And I'll tell you. I've been watching a lot of wacky stuff recently. And last night, I got stuck watching a guy in New Zealand do some wood turning. He'll just chuck some log up on his lathe and then he turns it down into something cool. And I do like wood turning conceptually. And I do like, wood turned products. Not boring things like railing banisters or fence posts, but you can make art on a wood lathe. And this guy from New Zealand, what's his name? Rick? He's pretty good. And he likes to find funny chunks of wood and turn them down a little bit and then pour in a little epoxy resin, color it up, and then turn it again. And he ends up with these really, really, really cool things. And I've been enjoying watching him do that stuff. So I'll probably watch some more of that today. And I'll probably watch some marble races or something wacky like that too. Oh, I better check some of these. I just remembered. I got a Godzilla movie coming up sometime tonight. Is that at 7? Yes, it is. Right there. Ooh, and look what else is on. Also at 7 o'clock. Breaker Breaker. One of the other CB/truck driving films that was made during the CB craze. This one starring Chuck Norris, of course. Yowza. I just got to remember. Godzilla is on at 7. I cannot forget. Because I like Gojira. Gojira Ichiban. Showa Gojira Ichiban. Showa era Godzilla is number one. Okay, so here we are. Back to the flat track racing. Brown, brown. Look at those motorcycles. This is a pretty short track. Is this a quarter mile track? Or an eighth mile track? I don't know. Quarter mile, I guess. I enjoy motorcycle flat track racing. It's really grown on me. Normally, when I watch motorcycle racing, I want to watch one of two things. I either want to watch, you know, basically Grand Prix road racing, which is, you know, motorcycles on road courses. Or I want to watch motocross, which is, you know, motorcycles on crazy off-road courses with lots of jumps and wacky noodles and all kinds of diddly-doos to fly your motorcycle over. But recently, I've sort of gotten into flat tracking. And motorcycle flat track is an interesting concept. Basically, you have a motorcycle that is essentially a street bike. A motorcycle that's basically set up for road course racing, but not exactly. And then you put these motorcycles on an oval track that's made out of dirt. And so you get this sort of weird, I almost want to say it's like a cross between motocross and road course, but it's not. It's its own different thing, and it's very weird. And at first I didn't know what to think, but I've really come to enjoy this. And look at these two Indian team riders out in front. And if you haven't heard other comments about this that I have made, one of the funniest things to me is that this entire series, the American Flat Track Racing Series, is sponsored by Harley Davidson. And I don't think they've ever won a race. They haven't won a race in the couple years that I've been watching this. Every single race ends with the first, second, and third place guys being the Team Indian drivers, Indian motorcycles. Indian. Indian. Indian motorcycles, superior to Harley Davidson in every way. I don't even know why anybody buys a Harley Davidson. It's basically so they can say, ooh, I own a Harley Davidson. You know, but that's like being proud of owning a Yugo. They're not very good. And that's why Harley Davidson riders are always working on their motorcycles. You ever notice that? Your basic Harley guy spends more time working on his bike than actually riding it. And that's just one of the many reasons why I love the Indian motorcycles. They are far superior. But I digress. This is not the this is not the motorcycle racing show. And even if it was, I'd be saying Ducati. I do prefer Ducati motorcycles for road course racing. I'm a huge Ducati fan. My brother actually owns one. I don't remember what it is. SS750, something ridiculously huge, fast, and dangerous. That's how we roll. Yeah, and that's the irony of my brother. He's got the fastest, most dangerous motorcycle possible. But when it comes to cars, he just bought a Volvo. Volvo, the safest cars in the world. At least they were at one point in time. I think everybody still considers them to be pretty much the safest car. And my brother just recently bought this. I think my dad told me that my brother bought the Volvo last week. I haven't even heard that from my brother about this yet. And I'm a little curious as to why he bought a Volvo. Usually he was really he's into Subarus. He had Subarus there for the longest time. And now he went to Volvo. And I haven't heard the reason why, but I'm imagining it does have something to do with racing. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what? Volvo races? Yeah, they race. They do rally racing and they do some other stuff. This tea is so good. I'm kind of surprised my brother didn't buy something like a Skoda. I kind of want a Skoda. But yeah, my brother bought a Volvo. I haven't heard why. Because he likes to drive cars and be safe, but you know, when he's on a motorcycle, he prefers to be dangerous. That's good logic. That sounds like something I would do. Seems entirely contradictory, but I'm sure it makes sense to somebody. Oh. Yeah. You know what else I might do today? I've been watching a lot of I've been watching a lot of weird Japanese stuff, and not just Godzilla movies. But I've been watching people play games in Japan in arcades, like claw machines, which are known as UFO catchers in Japan. And I've been entertained by that. But recently, I've been spending a little bit more time watching coin pushers because they have some very, very, very complex and interesting coin pushers in Japan and candy pushers. You've probably seen coin pushers. You throw coins into a machine and a little thing slides back and forth, and you try to push more coins over the edge that you can win. Well, there's also candy pushers where there's like a combination between a coin pusher and a claw machine where you put in the money and you manipulate a claw that reaches down and scoops up some candy that pushes it onto a table that has the pushing mechanism. Then, if the mechanism pushes the candy in the slot, you win candy. I've been watching a lot of candy pushers because I'm a sucker for candy. Now, the irony is, you could not ever get me to put money into a coin pusher. Because, well, I'm not an idiot. But you know, I'm seeing some of these candy pushers, and I'm like, ooh, now that's a fun game that I think I want to play. Also, I've seen candy stacked up in UFO catchers, where all you got to do is sort of hook this one little thing and knock the candy into the bin, and ta-da, you won tons of candy. And that really is tempting me too, because again, I would never ever put money into a claw machine or a UFO catcher. But oh, the prizes are candy now? And I could win a lot of candy? See, now that's the kind of game I might play. But I've been watching a lot of coin pushers too, because I've been talking to Booper about this, and there's some really elaborate coin pushers in Japan. And then I saw another machine that I really liked. It was called Marble Fever. And Marble Fever was essentially a coin pusher, but instead of coins, it had marbles. And once the marbles got pushed off the edge, then the marbles would fall into these slots and they'd get moved up into these roulette things and get spun around and try to land in holes. And then if it went in the right hole, then the marble would go onto this tilt table and go rocking back and forth and trying to fall into some holes. And if it fell into the good hole, then the marble would go over to this other thing and a thing would spin on the screen. And if the numbers line up, you win the jackpot. And I could barely follow what was going on. It was so complex. And so crazy, but I loved it. I loved it a lot. It was so crazy, and there was so much stuff going on. It was so complex. It was so complex that I thought, this is great. And I just loved it because it was so many colorful lights and all this music and flashing video stuff and all this craziness. And I liked it because there were so many mechanical elements. There are, you know, this is not a simulation. This is not marbles on a video screen. These are actual marbles on a table rolling around. And you know how much I like seeing marbles roll around and doing wacky stuff. So I got to go to Japan just to hang out in the arcades for a few days. And, you know, there's so much good cultural stuff I'd love to see in Japan. You know, I want to go to the Kabuki Theater, and I want to see all kinds of cool stuff, and I want to go to all the temples, but why do I get the feeling I'm going to be sitting around in the arcades trying to win candy out of games? You know, I'm going to be in Akihabara walking up and down, finding all the gachapon shops and spending all my money looking for Gojira gachapon. And you know it exists. You know it's out there. So I'll tell you right now, be forewarned. You're going to hear a lot more about some of these games that I've been watching in the upcoming episodes of the Dubious Goals Committee. Because I've been watching a lot of these games and I've been discussing these with Booper. Various strategies and things. And geez, maybe I should get some money together and go to Japan so I can play these games. And, you know, buy things out of their capsule machines. And all of their other wacky vending machines. But you know what? You cannot speak about wacky machines in Japan without mentioning pachinko. And if you're an American, you probably know somebody, or maybe you even have a Showa era pachinko machines. When Americans think of pachinko, think of the old Showa era pachinko machines and or Bagatelle machines or Bagatelle toys. Or, of course, they think of Plinko from The Price is Right. But that has nothing to do with modern pachinko. And I will tell you right now that we're going to be talking a lot about pachinko very soon. In fact, I think tomorrow's episode is going to be mostly about pachinko, maybe about other machines. So tune in tomorrow for the Pachinko Show. My name is Tobe, and I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. Oh, it's time for me to go, so I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.